was actually a turning point in my life, Sarah, when I recognized that I had been deceived about the United Nations. And that led me to where I am today, where, you know, a big part of what I do is exposing the UN, exposing the UN's agenda, and really exposing the forces behind the United Nations, who have estimated, based on the UN's own data, that UN so-called peace troops have raped 60,000 women and children just in the last decade, okay, just in the last 10 years. Okay, and some of these stories would blow your mind. I mean, all the leadership of the UN got together not to worry about how do we save these children from these monsters who are raping them. How do we destroy the guy who blew the whistle and exposed all of this? So this is the mentality within the top levels of the UN. You know, people say, oh, that stuff's not true. It's all documented. There's no dispute about this. They were able to enslave Czechoslovakia without even bringing in the troops. And that's what we're seeing in the United States right now. It's what we've seen in country after country. Their role, the UN's role, is to serve as a tool of this group, of these wicked, evil forces, to use it as a battering ram against the United States, against the free world, against individual liberty, to move us toward this global governance system where individual freedom and the nation state will be completely eliminated.
With the COVID-19 virus crisis and the number of casualties with the flu, if you have not been looking at C60 as a means to significantly improve your immunities by now, you should be. Here's why. First, a strong and healthy immune system is your body's first defense, and for those with a strong immune system, your body will adequately fight viruses without medical intervention. Second, C60 is safe as long as you are taking high-quality C60 with no added fillers or solvents. Third, C60 is the best means of removing free radicals from your body that exists. It's at least 200 times better at this function than vitamin C and any other antioxidant. Fourth, as Dr. Chu Li stated on a previous show, COVID-19 creates massive amounts of free radicals, which is causing organ failure for those with weaker immune systems. So now it becomes clear you need the best free radical fighter that exists, and that is C60 with black seed oil and curcumin. Why black seed oil and curcumin? Because these two ingredients are the absolute best at supporting C60 to fight viruses and to improve your immune system. Go to sarahwestall.com/shop and learn more about why this formula is so powerful for building your immunities. And it's now available in gel capsules and by diffuser for more serious needs. Be sure to read the research and, of course, use the current coupons to save money when you buy. Patrons also receive a 10% discount. You can find that code at patreon.com/sarahwestall. Remember, keeping you and your family safe is the most important thing you can do. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. This episode, I have Alex Newman. He's a journalist that has been covering the UN for over a decade. And he actually grew up, he's going to talk about his life and kind of how he got into it, but he grew up in all these different countries, mingling with a lot of different UN kids, and he learned the whole deal, kind of how it works there. And he's covering things that the average person is not. No one is really covering this, not like he is. And he's covering the role of the UN in child trafficking and what these creeps are doing. And also, even most importantly right now to us, how the UN is playing in this globalist takedown of our country. And he explains it. He explains what, you know, what they did with COVID, what they are doing now with these riots, and how all these people are playing into their hands. And he's just a phenomenal resource. And so I'm going to be tapping into him periodically to get him on the show more. And he's in publish his articles. He's just great. Everybody needs to learn this stuff, how the UN really plays into this big globalist picture. It is just really important information. And before we get into that great interview, I want to tell you he also sticks around for my patrons and does an exclusive. And what we're talking about is homeschooling and how this whole COVID-19 BS has affected homeschooling, and he expects this huge swell of homeschooling to happen. And we talk about all of that. It's a good consequence of what they're doing. So I just want to remind you, you can sign up by going to patreon.com/Sarah Westall, and people who do sign up get coupons and discounts on the C60 gel caps and many other things. And you can also see what products are available by going to my shop at sarahwestall.com/shop. And let's get into this amazing interview with Alex Newman. Hi, Alex. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks very much for having me.
Well, you know, you have been highly recommended with all your experience, with your journalism experience. You've covered a lot of the UN. You understand their role in all this. And I think in everything that goes on, like in the United States and everyone about everything, but a lot of the stuff that goes on. And I was really curious, and I wanted to understand how the UN plays into what's happening today in the United States. But first, can you talk a little bit about your background?
Sure. Well, thank you, Sarah. And it's funny because my article from yesterday was literally about the role of the UN in the riots and the chaos that we're seeing on the streets of the United States right now. So it's perfect timing. My background is, you know, very unusual. I consider myself extremely blessed to have had a very interesting upbringing. I grew up mostly in Latin America, many years in Mexico, many years in Brazil. We moved to Switzerland, and then I moved down to Africa, South Africa, for some time, then back to Europe. And now finally we're getting our feet wet in the United States, my wife and I and our children. So that's kind of my personal background. I fell into journalism by default. I wasn't especially good at anything else other than writing. So I got a journalism degree and been doing journalism ever since, along with other things. But right now I'm a foreign correspondent for the New American Magazine, which allows me to, and I do a lot of other things as well, but that allows me to travel to all these UN summits. Most recently I was at the UN Climate Summit in Madrid a few months ago. And so that was interesting. And to see all this up close and personal, you get a very different view than you would get, say, from America, from the fake media. And so it's been phenomenally interesting to be able to observe that up close.
Well, and we are so fake. And I suppose when you're so actively involved in it and then you see what they're reporting and it's so different than what you know to be true, was there a point in your life where you were shocked by it, or did you always know? You were raised to know that it was propaganda.
No, that's such an interesting question, Sarah, because until I was about 19 years old, I was so fooled into all the propaganda. You know, I was indoctrinated just like any American who went to a public school. I got all that same indoctrination, maybe multiplied by 10, just with the added benefit of having been given, you know, a decent education and how to read, how to think, how to sort through things. So I did benefit from a very good education, but it was also really heavy on UN propaganda, globalist propaganda. And so I grew up believing all that. It wasn't until I was about, I think, 19 years old, I was in college, and I watched a documentary that had gone up on YouTube about what the UN had done in Katanga, a province that had decided to break away from the Congo because they didn't want to live under a mass-murdering Soviet-backed communist dictator. And so the UN came in and they said, oh, you can't do that, right? You're not allowed to be free. You must submit to your new overlord. And they came in and they bombed hospitals and they slaughtered women and children. I mean, they bayoneted a 9-year-old boy, for crying out loud. And for me, that was just like shattered everything I had grown up believing about the UN. You know, I had always been taught UN is the last best hope for peace. And it's just a place for nations to talk so we don't sort things out through war. And then to see that reality, to see how different the truth was to what I had been taught, it was actually a turning point in my life, Sarah, when I recognized that I had been deceived about the United Nations. And that led me to where I am today, where, you know, a big part of what I do is exposing the UN, exposing the UN's agenda, and really exposing the forces behind the United Nations.
Well, so I've been covering a lot of the child networking or the child trafficking that goes right to the UN and all these things. I mean, it's so odd when you, and this is what the cognitive dissonance is, when they put out information of how good they are, and then you see them slaughter a little kid, you know, or you investigate, you know, that they're raping little kids. It's so appalling. But have you been seeing their role in what's going on now with, I mean, they did the COVID-19 first, which they're still kind of doing, and making everybody's wearing masks and everything else, which is just crazy, and locked people in their homes. And then suddenly these riots with all these pent up energies of these younger people. What role was the UN in all of this?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much to talk on this, Sarah, and I'm so glad you brought up the child raping, because that's been a major focus of my work, and unfortunately, there's been almost no other journalist on the planet. And I don't say that to toot my own horn. I say that to mock the rest of the so-called media. What is wrong with you? We have documented concrete proof that UN soldiers have been going all over the world and raping children by the tens of thousands, right? There's a network now called the Hear Their Cries of former UN officials, including some really senior officials, who have estimated, based on the UN's own data, that UN so-called peace troops have raped 60,000 women and children just in the last decade, okay? Just in the last 10 years, okay? And some of these stories would blow your mind. I mean, kidnapping an 8-year-old boy in Haiti and using him as a sex slave for the officers of the UN troops that were occupying Haiti, and raping him for years. And then when an investigator from the outside came in to investigate, they tried to get rid of him, right? So they disposed of him. I mean, this stuff is routine now.
They killed him.
That's right. And it gets even worse. The UN troops were in the Central African Republic, just raping children wherever they found them. No accountability, nothing. Some reports got back to the UN Human Rights Office in Geneva. And a gentleman by the name of Anders Kompis, a Swedish man who worked at the UN, said, oh, my goodness, the troops are raping children. We have to do something. They said, oh, shut up. You know, don't worry about it. So obviously he was flabbergasted. He sent this information over to French prosecutors and said, please do something. These UN troops are raping children. Nobody I'm responsible. Thank you for speaking up on behalf of these poor innocent children being abused and raped by these monsters. No, they actually marched him out of his office under armed guard and defamed him. They had a secret meeting in Turin. We know from leaked emails, all the leadership of the UN got together not to worry about how do we save these children from these monsters who are raping them. How do we destroy the guy who blew the whistle and exposed all of this? So this is the mentality within the top levels of the UN. You know, people say, oh, that stuff's not true. It's all documented. There's no dispute about this. I actually interviewed an assistant secretary general or an undersecretary general of the United Nations, you know, one of the deputy leaders of the UN, who was horrified by all this on the record, Swedish lady. So this stuff is well documented. It is sick. It's enough to make you want to puke. And then we come to my article that I wrote yesterday about the UN's role in all this. The communist, and she's an actual communist, UN High Commissioner for Human Rights. Her name is Michelle Bachelet. She's an actual communist from Chile. And we can talk about her background later. She has the nerve to lecture the United States about human rights, about systemic racism. I mean, if you listen to what she had to say, she put out multiple press releases. And if you read these, you'd think she was talking about, like, you know, communist China or something, right? Some barbaric hellhole where people are murdered for their opinions. Of course, she has nothing to say about China, right? Never. I mean, they could put millions of Muslims in concentration camps. They can chop out organs from Falun Gong practitioners. They can arrest Christian pastors and torture them for weeks on end. They can disappear their lawyers. Not a peep out of these maniacs at the UN. But then, you know, we have a black man who's unfortunately killed by the police, and suddenly the whole UN comes crashing down on America. We need fundamental reform of everything, not just the police. We need to deal with socioeconomic inequality. I mean, they're talking about a total takeover of our nation. And so the role of the UN in all of this, Sarah, it's the pressure from above and pressure from below tactic. This was actually developed by a Czech communist. Actually, he wrote about this and helped enslave his own nation without even having troops come in, right? The Soviet troops, they were able to enslave Czechoslovakia without even bringing in the troops. And that's what we're seeing in the United States right now. It's what we've seen in country after country. So you have the pressure from below. You have, you know, George Soros and the Rockefellers and the Ford Foundation funding these agitators, these rioters, these looters, these violent revolutionaries, Black Lives Matter, which is not even a black organization, Antifa, right, a terrorist organization. That provides the pressure from below, right? People just beg, please bring things back to normal. Please, you know, make this stop. And then comes in the pressure from above, the communist head of UN Human Rights. Oh, well, yeah, you know, what you really need is, and then you present the false solution, right? We're going to totally transform your society under the guise of dealing with this supposed sin that you have. That's what we're seeing now. And I think the role of the UN, Sarah, just to answer your question concisely, is it is a tool of the globalists, the same people who are involved in this abuse of children, the same people who are trying to enslave humanity under what they themselves call a new world order. Their role, the UN's role, is to serve as a tool of this group of these wicked, wicked, evil forces to use as a battering ram against the United States, against the free world, against individual liberty, to move us toward this global governance system where individual freedom and the nation state will be completely eliminated.
And they need to get rid of the United States because we have too much power, or the people have too much individual thinking, and we have guns, and we're a pain in the butt for them. They want to be able to control us as little, you know, robots, and they can't do that. They can manipulate the people going out in the streets right now, which is really sad, but we have this big force that's fighting back. Do they talk about that in meetings? I mean, how do they talk about the people like us who are fighting back?
Oh my goodness, Sarah, I wish you could have come with me to the UN conference in Madrid. It was so in your face. Public enemy number one was the United States, and especially conservative voters and President Trump. I mean, you would think it was actually a conference about Trump and conservative voters in the United States, not about climate change, because the main subject of discussion, other than the supposed need to reduce the population of the planet, was how evil America is, how America is standing in the way of this wonderful, glorious progress toward a climate-safe future for all. Meanwhile, communist, you know, it starts with this premise that CO2 emissions are bad, which is, of course, an enormous
it's
hoax.
Bullshit.
CO2 is
yeah.
fundamental. It's total bullcrap. That's right. It's fundamental to life on this planet. A human exhales 2 pounds of it every day. I've interviewed many of the UN's own scientists who say this is all a giant lie. But so they start with this premise. If they really believed this premise, Sarah, they would be giving us a round of applause. They'd say, America, you guys are amazing. How do you do it? Your CO2 emissions are falling like a rock, right? Because we're moving to different forms of power and things like that, not because Trump is imposing this on us. It's just a natural thing that's happening. Meanwhile, in communist China, they're building coal-fired power plants faster than you can count them. They're spewing CO2 into the atmosphere. And I don't begrudge them that. It's all the CO2 you want. It's a good planet. We'll get more agricultural yields. It's not going to cook us.
It's the pollution that's the problem.
CO2 emissions in China are rising like a rocket. In America, they're dropping like a rock. That's right. CO2 is not pollution. The reason they zeroed in on CO2 is because it's the perfect tool for tyranny, right? If you can demonize CO2 and convince people, 12 years in a government indoctrination center masquerading as a school, that the gas they exhale is a pollution, and that only taxes and global regulations by the UN can save us from this alleged pollution, then you have a tool to control every aspect of human life. There's nothing you can do that doesn't involve CO2 emissions. And so it's crystal clear what's happening, Sarah. They must destroy the United States because the United States stands in the way of their objective. It's not just the guns, and that's an important part of it. You know, they can't stand it that there is a incredibly powerful, well-armed group of people, 300 million strong, that has not just the ability, but the will to resist this problem, this effort to move us toward a totalitarian global system. And so they're very open about it. We've got to transform America. They've been telling us for years, we've got to disarm the American people, at least until President Trump. Every time there was a big shooting in the United States, the UN would come out and they'd say, oh, international law requires America to get rid of all these guns, and how dare you? That's a violation. On and on and on. So this is an effort to destroy the United States because the United States stands in the way of this agenda. Now, I should point out that for a long, long time, you know, I wouldn't say they had totally hijacked our nation, but they had very powerful people on board with their agenda, including presidents of the United States for a long time. Bill Clinton, George H.W. Bush, they both told us they wanted a new world order. So they were on board with this agenda. That's not to say that they had co-opted our whole country, but now they're recognizing, especially with President Trump in power, oh, what if we can't control their government? Suddenly that becomes the biggest single obstacle to the implementation of this agenda. And it's not just the American people. It's also the ideas that America is founded on, right? They're completely antithetical to their agenda. Because our founding fathers in America, they said, it's a self-evident truth that God created everybody equal, that God endowed us with inalienable rights, and that we create governments to protect our God-given rights. Now, if this idea continues to exist, it's not compatible with their idea, which is you have no rights, right? If you read the UN Declaration of Human Rights, it's not a list of rights at all. It's like the Soviet Constitution. The government's going to take care of you. The government's going to give you health care. The government's going to give you education. And that education has to further the activities and the principles. You can't use any of these principles of the UN. So these two ideas are fundamentally incompatible. One of them is going to have to give. Either they're going to have a world system with their ideas and America will have to be destroyed, or America will continue to exist based on the ideals that we were founded upon, and then the global system can't emerge. So one of these is going to have to give.
What do you see them? I mean, what is the hellhole that they're trying to create? I mean, it's Agenda 2020, right? I mean, it's the Agenda 2030. It's but what do you see that as? I mean, is it communist China? Is it communist Russia? Is it a hybrid of technocracy and communism? I mean, what really are we talking about?
I think you just hit the nail on the head, Sarah. If you want to know what the New World Order looks like, look at China. And this is not speculation on my part. I'm not some kind of genius who connected the dots. I'm just listening to what they're telling us. Right? If you read it, it is a recipe for world government. The communist Chinese bragged right after it was adopted that they played a crucial role in developing it. The head of NATO, Javier Solana, a socialist, he's no longer the head of NATO, but he said this was going to be the next great leap forward. And of course, we know the last great leap forward in China involved the extermination of a few tens of millions of people. Right? We know that this is very, very dangerous. And so, you know, China is no longer Marxist-Leninist per se. I mean, the Communist Party still runs things, and there's still many elements of communism. But the economic system now is no longer communist. It's much more technocratic than that. You don't have self-government in China. You have rule by experts and elites, right? So the Communist Party is on top, and they say, all right, you're a scientist, you run this. You're an engineer, you figure out how to run this. And so there is no self-government. There is no representation of the people. And I mean, we had George Soros as a good example, the guy who was funding the riots in the United States. He very clearly, when he was getting his Globalist of the Year award, he said it again to the Financial Times, he says, China, communist China, should own, is the term he used, the New World Order. He said that communist China has a better functioning government than the United States. Even back in the 70s, David Rockefeller, who's one of the prime architects of the New World Order, he's dead now, and you know I can't imagine his meeting with his maker went very well. But he actually wrote in the New York Times after a trip to China in the early 1970s, that the system in China was incredible. He said they've created unity and unification of purpose. And he said the social experiment that happened in China under Chairman Mao is one of the most important and successful in human history. So if you want to know what the New World Order looks like, it looks a lot like what China looks like today. And, you know, as a Christian, I think there's really a significant spiritual component to this. I think we're really dealing with absolute evil. But on the surface of things, it is going to be a technocratic, kind of fascist, communist, hybrid totalitarian system where individual liberty is eliminated, a large number of people are eliminated, right? Very, very serious population control like they have in China right now, and global government. And if you want to know what it looks like, just read Agenda 2030. They laid it all out for you. Global wealth redistribution, vaccines and abortions for everybody, mental problem. We're going to have to give you a lobotomy. And so as George Orwell put it, just imagine a boot on a human face forever, and you get a sense of what this new world order will look like if they succeed.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what we're looking at. It's so scary. And when you look at China, we know that they don't blink an eye at taking out, killing the people that interfere with their agenda, period. They see that what's best for the whole is to get rid of anybody that disagrees with them. And the them are the elites who are in charge. And we know that the elites who are in charge are scary as hell. I mean, they abuse children en masse. They farm for adrenochrome. They are really bad. And people, it seems so out there because an average person wouldn't think anybody would do that, but they are as evil as it gets. If you think of something they'll do, they'll freaking do it. I mean, and the more I learn, the more I'm just appalled. You know, how could they have baby farms where they're actually doing that, like cow farms for meat? They have farms for people so they can get adrenochrome and ritual sacrifice and whatever else they need. They just don't see us as anything more than just cattle, it seems like. I mean, is that your experience with their actions? The rhetoric is just however they can manipulate us. It's totally, totally disconnected from their actions. This is how I see it. They have actions and they say, oh, how can we convince these people that and make it easy for us to do this? And that's what they do. Whatever it is, it's just whatever will make their job easier. Is that what you see?
I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, the communist Chinese government, people need to understand, has murdered more people than any other government in all of human history. And that doesn't even include the, you know, hundreds of millions of forced abortions that they've used to implement their population control policies. They have the one-child policy, now it's the two-child policy. you know, conservative estimates, they've massacred somewhere between 80 and 100 million people. I mean, let that number sink in. That is an enormous amount of people. And they do it without any sense of remorse. They do it without any feeling of guilt. It's for a higher purpose, to bring about, you know, this hell on earth that they're seeking. They literally take dissidents and they put them in camps. And then when they find somebody who needs their organs, they strap them down on a table while they're alive and they chop their organs out of their body and put them in high-ranking members of the Communist Party or wealthy Middle Eastern oil sheiks. I mean, that's the kind of inhuman barbarism that we are dealing with the rulers of Communist China. And, you know, you cannot understand Communist China without understanding that its ruling elites are like this with the ruling elites in the Western world. See, now in the media, we get a lot of this portrayal that Communist China and the United States government are at odds with each other. And to an extent, with President Trump, that's true. President Trump has been the first president in my lifetime who seriously stood up to the butchers. But even going all the way back to the Communist Revolution in China, this was aided, abetted, and completely brought about by subversive globalists in the United States. So there's phenomenal books written on this subject. May God forgive us is the one that I first read that really opened my eyes to what happened. Subversives within our own government, within our State Department, within our Department of Defense, people like George Marshall, who was our Secretary of Defense and our Secretary of State, deliberately betrayed our close ally, Chiang Kai-shek, the leader of Nationalist China, so that Chairman Mao would be able to take over. They put an arms embargo on him, even though he had been our ally fighting the Japanese and defeating the Japanese in World War II. We stuck a knife in his back, not we, but these subversives, these members of the Council on Foreign Relations in our government. They invited Stalin. They told Stalin, join the war on Japan like 2 days before it was over so that he could end up coming in and taking all this territory. He took Manchuria so he could get all the Japanese stockpiles. They set it up so that the communists could take over China. And ever since, the Communist Chinese have been working with the globalist elites in the West. They go to Bilderberg meetings. They're deeply involved in this push towards a new world order. Now they run literally at least one-third of the UN specialized agencies, the ones that they don't outright run, right? The ones that aren't actually led by a member of the Communist Chinese Party. They have a deputy from the Communist Chinese Party, or, you know, like in the case of the World Health Organization, Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus. I mean, this guy is a total attack poodle for Communist China. He was put into power by Communist China, and before taking over, he was actually on the Politburo of an ethno-Marxist terrorist group in Ethiopia called the Tigray People's Liberation Front. So, you know, it all comes back to these are bloodthirsty, satanic totalitarians who would not hesitate to murder you if they thought it would advance their cause, even a millimeter, right? It doesn't have to be a big thing. They'll slaughter you in a second.
Well, who are these people? I know there's the very uber wealthy that never show up in the Forbes list.
That's right.
But who are they? How do they keep their children staying with this agenda? Because you would think the next generation would veer off, but they have this really weird control structure, don't they, to keep the children in line and then being what they want to be the next generation. So how do they do that?
Yeah, it's a complicated process, the way that the elites raise their children. You know, part of it is keeping them out of the system, right? They would never send their children to a public school, for example, to be brainwashed. They would never, you know, let them get involved with the common people. So a big part of that is the way they educate their children. And also, I think there's a lot of abuse that goes on among the elites, and it's a topic that's not talked about. You know, a lot of these people who become monsters later, it's because they were abused as children. You know, something happens to people that they can really turn dark. But I think on a broader level, Sarah, I think what we're really dealing with here, you know, I turn to the Bible for answers. I think that is the best source for answers. And in Ephesians 6:12, God tells us exactly what we're dealing with. We're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and evil. I mean, we're talking about demonic forces here that use humans as kind of pawns in the game. But really what we're talking about here is actually a war on good, on God, on and I think you really see it clearly when you see what they're involved in. See, the average American, the average person has no idea how the depths of depravity that these people sink to, because they just can't conceive of it. You know, they might do small bad things, right? Maybe they'll pocket a little bit of money from their boss out of the cash register if they're really bad. Maybe they'll tell a lie to their wife about where they were. But, you know, they would never dream of, like, raping a child. Or they would never dream of, like, committing a genocide or chopping out somebody's organs. And so they're incapable of understanding the fact that there are a lot of people out there who do those things. And so that's one of the big assets they have, is that your average person just can't fathom the depths of this evil that we're dealing with. But, you know, and there are humans who are involved who are really, really high up that we don't really see very often. The Rothschild dynasty is a very good example. And everybody points at George Soros and says, hey, he's the one who runs the deep state. No, absolutely not, right? George Soros actually got his start. His quantum fund was initially funded by the Rothschild banking dynasty. And nobody talks about that. Nobody knows about that. Then he starts making, you know, 6,000% per year returns, all out of proportion to what any normal person could do, even if they were incredibly smart. What happens? Well, we know what happens. George Soros was convicted of insider trading in a French court, right? So these elites, they don't operate in the same, you know, universe that your average person operates in terms of raising their own children, in terms of making their money, in terms of what they do with their money. It's a whole nother world out there that I think your average person struggles to understand.
Well, I think the average person doesn't want to think those evil thoughts either. And so they keep it out of their head forever, you know, and then when they have to think about it, they're like appalled that, because they just won't let their brain go there. And so now when they have to go there, it's, but we're all adults and we need to understand what's really happening here. And you say that it's a evil war, demonic evil powers, because it's so not what humans naturally are. And so there has to be something. That's how you explain this outside force of evil that is controlling them, because it just doesn't match with what human beings are, does it?
That's right. It's it's a spiritual battle. I mean, that's what it is. It, when you boil it all down, it's not just people who have bad ideas. I mean, you know, some of the lower level useful idiots really believe this stuff. You know, plenty of members of the Council on Foreign Relations and even plenty of the idiots who show up at Bilderberg, they really believe, oh, we're going to have world peace if we just get rid of nations, and we're going to have, you know, the economy is going to be much better if we just let the technocrats run it all. There's plenty of useful idiots who believe that stuff. But once you get to the upper levels, these people don't believe that stuff any more than Joseph Stalin believed that communism was a serious tool for, you know, bringing up the proletariat and achieving equality. I mean, these people don't believe that stuff. It's just it's a thin veneer to kind of cover up their crimes, right? They put it in the guise of an ideology, but really it's straight evil. And I think when you look at history through that lens, it suddenly makes much more sense. And if you look at where we're going, it suddenly makes much more sense. You know, 2,000 years ago, there's prophecies in the Bible that talk about we're going to head towards this global system where you're not even going to be able to buy or sell if you don't take this mark. And 2,000 years ago, that must have sounded, you know, forgive my French, absolutely bat poop crazy, right? Right. We don't even know where all the people in the world live. How in the world would you ever imagine a system where you could prevent someone from buying or selling unless they join your global Borg, right? Well, now we see that technology coming into view. We see Bill Gates demanding that we all take, you know, tattoos and implants to prove our vaccine records, and we're not going to be able to participate in the economy, and the World Health Organization is going to track us all. I mean, we see it coming into view now, and to me, it's just so obvious that we're not just dealing with, you know, human cunning here. We're dealing with something much more evil, something much darker. And you know, the deeper you go down the rabbit hole, the more evil you see, the more it starts becoming obvious that, you know, these aren't just bad guys. You know, bad guys rob banks, okay? Bad guys cheat on their wives, okay? Bad guys don't, you know, just in and of themselves try to exterminate people, try to rape children. I mean, the sort of monstrous, inconceivable crimes that we now know for a fact the elites have been engaged in for many, 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 many years. In fact, much longer than that.
Even normal pedophiles, and I'm not going to excuse a pedophile, but even normal pedophiles who have that inclination know what's wrong and try not to do it. You know, I mean, even them aren't what these guys are.
That's right. People have a conscience. Our body's way of telling us, hey, that's bad, right? That's why you feel bad when you steal something from a store. That's why you feel bad when you lie to your wife, you know, because we have this conscience. And I think these people, they have serious, doing evil brings them joy, and that's how far gone they are. They've been handed over to a reprobate mind, and they get pleasure out of seeing other people suffer. They get pleasure out of seeing, you know, stacks of bodies, and that's tough for people to understand. You know, who would get pleasure out of seeing a mountain of dead bodies, right? Well, the people who run communist China, the people who ran Nazi Germany, the people who ran the Soviet Union, the people who ran communist Mozambique, the people who ran communist Cuba. You know, pick your totalitarian dictatorship. These people have a bloodlust that is impossible to explain using just standard human terminology.
So what do we do as we're trying to fight this, right? We want to keep our guns. We want to keep our freedoms. We want to keep all this stuff. I'm doing everything I can to just educate whoever I can on what the truth is. But what Is there more we can do?
Well, you know, I think there's several key things that people ought to have in mind as you think about this. And I think the first thing is understanding the nature of the battle we're in, right? If you think this is just a fight against Democrats, you're fighting the wrong battle. And I mean, I understand Democrats are out of control. Plenty of Republicans are out of control too. But we're not going to save America just by electing less Democrats and more Republicans. I'm sorry, it's just not going to happen. Okay, look at Lindsey Graham, look at John McCain, look at George H.W. Bush, right? Electing more Republicans is not going to save this country. So you need to have a good understanding of what the true nature of this battle. And that means having access to good information. So, you know, one of the things I recommend to people is, you know, get a subscription to the New American Magazine. If you don't have one yet, it'll come to your door, you know, twice a month. You'll get incredibly important information. You won't get it from the establishment propagandists masquerading as news organizations. You won't get it from, you know, CNN, from even Fox News or Wall Street Journal. You just won't get it. So this is a really good tool. We call it an intelligence digest. It's the information you need about what the elites are up to. And speaking of the New American, I did a special report in here last year. It's called Rescuing Our Children, which, you know, after thinking about this for many years, Sarah, I came to the conclusion that one of the most important weapons of the enemy in the war against us, in the war against our freedom, in the war against our country, in the war against what's right and good, is our children. They have been indoctrinating and dumbing down our children now, going on for several generations, right? And it was done through the public school system. And so I tell parents, you know, yeah, you can't save the world by yourself, right? You're not going to decide the presidential election. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what a great activist you are. I don't care how many doors you knock on. You're not going to save this country on your own, right? But one thing that every parent can do, I should say virtually every parent can do, is take their children out of the system and find a safe sanctuary for them. Maybe that's a homeschool if you can do that, right? If you can make it work financially. And a lot of people say, oh, I can't do it, make it work financially. Yeah, you can if you set your mind to it, right? If my wife and I could do it, you could do it too. Another option is a good private school, right? Find a good school where your child is not going to be indoctrinated to hate America, to believe that they can pick a new gender, to believe that we should all march into a new world order, to believe that civilization is evil, that borders are racist, right? Get them a good education. Teach them how to think, not what to think. So find a good school or get your children into the safe sanctuary of a homeschool. And this has implications that you know, will reverberate through the ages, right? It's not just about protecting your own children and your own family. The way that they've managed to destroy our country and our liberty is by brainwashing successive generations of our children. So if we deny them access to our children, not only are we protecting our own children and our own family, we're also protecting our civilization and our nation and our liberties. We're giving them less soldiers for their army of evil, and we'll have more soldiers for the army of truth and righteousness. So that, I think, is a really important thing. And finally, you know, educate your neighbors and your community. And that looks different for everybody. All of us are a good communicator. If you're a good people person, if you're charismatic, go run for office. We need more good people on our county commissions to be our sheriffs, to be our state legislators, to be our governors, to be our senators and our congressmen. We need people like you to run for office. If that's not your thing, well up on stage with lights shining on you and nasty fake news reporters calling you names, find something else to do. Help somebody else run for office. You know, go talk to your neighbors about what's happening. Go talk to your pastor, the elders at your church. So that's going to be crucial. You know, I think everybody wants a silver bullet. So you have these people who've gotten sucked into like the Constitutional Convention movement. Let's call a Constitutional Convention and rewrite the Constitution. That's not going to save the country. There's not going to be a silver bullet like that. Over the long term, it's going to be about having an educated and informed electorate willing to and understanding the right thing to do. So those would be my key points there. And you know, I could develop more on each of those, but I think that gives a good overview of my opinion on what we should do about this.
That's really great. Where can they see more of your work?
Well, thank you for that. So most of my articles go up at thenewamerican.com or in the print magazine of The New American. Not all the articles from the print magazine go up online, but we do publish, you know, 10, 15 articles every day online. You can subscribe to the daily headlines. I also write for Freedom Project Media. I've got a blog focusing on the education system there. I write for the Epoch Times, a national newspaper on education and China. And I do a lot of other things too. You know, I teach. I've got my own personal website, libertysentinel.org. But really, I would encourage people, you know, if you're not yet a regular reader of the New American Magazine, Google, YouTube, you know, they're all trying to censor us. Facebook, they're slapping, you know, fake fact checks on us. Google has almost disappeared us. I mean, it is almost impossible. You have to go right directly to the website, thenewamerican.com. But I would say those are the best places to find me. And then I'm on social media. If you want to find me on Twitter, it's AlexNewman_JOU for however long. Alex J. Newman, J as in Justin, J. Newman 86. So it's facebook.com/AlexJNewman86. And as long as Mark lets me be there, I'll keep posting stuff there too.
And I will have those links with the show as well. I really appreciate you showing up today. And will you stick around for my patrons?
I'd love to. Thank you so much for having me, Sarah. It's been a real honor.